It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am your host, Chris Shearn. We'll be joined by our co-host, producer, and godfather of YesNetwork.com, Joe Auriemma, in just a little bit. First, let's map out this week's Off the Wall. And yes, first and foremost, as we always do, we talk about our first-place Yankees. I have to admit, you know, I've been the, you know, dubbing myself the lighthouse of hope all season long, but I was a little scared this past week. I'll have to admit, the Yankees were 4-6 over the last 10 games. There was a time their lead got down to 4 over the Red Sox. And with that big 3-game series coming up this weekend, you know, the lead was getting a little uncomfortable. But they righted the ship against the Anaheim Angels, or the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, however you want to call them. It's a long and unnecessary name. It was scary, but that scary feeling is now history. Yankees are now still 6 up. They took the series in Anaheim, something they haven't done since May of 2004. You know, in the Mike Socha era, the Yankees have not done well in Anaheim. The magic number down to 5. Now you could start to feel it. You could start to sense it. The division could be the Yankees. Now the Red Sox series looms this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Pitching matchups. Jabba against Lester. CC against Dice K. Pettit against Paul Byrd. Winnable games there. Winnable games. They better be if you want to beat them in the postseason. But they could clinch against the Red Sox. And put this into perspective for a second. Yankees started the season 0-8 against Boston. I'm not saying they're going to sweep them. Lester Jabba's a tough one for me, basically because of how Jabba's been pitching as of late. And Lester has just been great pretty much all season long. But if the Yankees were to sweep the Red Sox in this series and put an exclamation point on the second half of the season, wow. That would mean, after going 0-8, the Yankees would have won 9 of the last 10 games against the Red Sox. And not only that, if they sweep the Red Sox that Sunday game, the way everything's shaping up now, that Sunday win would give the Yankees the division. And how sweet would that be, Yankee fans? How sweet. And if you could see me, if I was on camera right now, I'm like a televangelist. Both my hands are raised in the air, reaching towards the heavens. How sweet that would be. 0-8 to 9-1. And the AL East flag waving it in the face of the Red Sox. Ha! Doesn't matter. We are 0-8. Look at us now. Have fun with the wild card. Have fun out in L.A. of A. Whatever the hell they're called. God, do I hate that name. Joey and I will talk about the Yankees, obviously. We always do. It's not going to change, especially home stretch. And this is definitely the home stretch. We got this weekend and another full week. Regular season's over. October is right around the corner. Also talk football. How the Giants are 2-0. The Jets are 2-0. They both beat in-division rivals, huge division games. Both teams came out with W's. Not the prettiest in Dallas, still a W. Very pretty at the Meadowlands. Not so much the first half, but the second half for the Jets. And they beat the Pats. You'll find out how Joey and I did on our picks. And we'll also talk about Sunday and how all four New York teams are playing at 1 o'clock. And you'll find out how I feel about that, and it's not good. You may not like it, but somebody has to say something. We'll discuss all of this next on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran now joined along with Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com. Of course, the co-host of Off the Wall, the podcast. It's kind of like Naked Gun, you know, one of the titles of that movie. Off the Wall,
the smell of
the
fear.
Podcast, yeah. And also producer of this show as well, and editor extraordinaire.
Thank you, Chris, for all of those compliments.
You're welcome, Joe. You do a lot of work, so you deserve to get a little pop every now and again. So let's start with the Yankees, as we always do, Joe.
Yes.
And I was honest. I came out. I said it. The other day, you and I were having some adult beverages with some more people from Yes at a golf outing, and I was scared about the Yankees.
In fact, I called you out on it and I said, oh, the lighthouse of hope. The man whose glass is half empty.
Well, then it was.
Yes,
yeah.
That's why I was saying.
You can't blame
all season, our glass is half full. Now it's half empty.
Well, hey, at least I, you know, I
you
admitted.
Were out there, yeah.
I admitted I did it.
And I came back and I said, I still feel a confidence. They're going to win the division. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of getting things right and getting to October
now. I saw how things were lining up. The Red Sox were going in to play the Royals. They were 3-1 against the Royals this season. The Yankees were out in L.A. with 3 against the Angels. They stink in Anaheim. Oh, ye of little faith. The matter at hand is the Red Sox series this weekend, Joe.
Yes.
And I mentioned it in the open. How unbelievable is it that the Yankees started the season 0-8, and now they could be, if they sweep, I'm not saying they will, but if they sweep, even if they take 2 out of 3, the Yankees are 9-1 or 8-2 after going 0-8.
And basically, after the 0-8, I had said if the Yankees even take 5 from the Red Sox, that they would win the division, because it was such a close race at All-Star break, and the Red Sox did have that 8-game advantage head-to-head over the Yankees. So I thought they only needed to take 5. But you know what? The law of averages with these two teams, it's amazing how the Red Sox dominate the first half. And you know what? The Yankees, they've been so close in competition over the last decade. It's just amazing how the law of averages come back. And, you know, even if the Yankees only get to, you know, 7 wins, that's still an unbelievable feat.
Yes, it is. And, you know, the pitching matchups aren't that, for the Red Sox, they don't really match up that well. They have Dice K going against CeCe. They have Paul Byrd going against Andy Pettitte, who, by the way, his shoulder, Joe Girardi said, came out of that start on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
No fatigue.
Right.
He was fine.
Which
He's
is a great sign.
Ready to go for the postseason, which is a good sign for the Yankees. I think they gave Pettitte, I'm just speculating here, but I think they gave Pettitte that time off. Yeah, he might have been a little sore, but I think it was more to line everything up for the postseason.
I would agree with that. A couple things with the starting rotation, Chris. I mean, you have to be happy with the way A.J. Burnett is throwing. Girardi only pulled him out of that game yesterday because it was hot.
And it was funny in the story, too, because he went out there and he said, he told me I was getting tired. And A.J. Burnett said, Skip, I just threw 95 miles an hour. But he said it's his job to make those decisions, and he was fine with it. And he might not have been fine with it on the mound
right
at that moment,
right,
because when you're a competitor, you don't want to leave the game. But obviously, you know, Joe Girardi's the manager. He knows what's best for this team and what's best for Burnett. He knows the playoffs are right around the corner. The Yankees have the first spot. They were the first team to clinch a spot in the postseason. So Joe Girardi knows, especially with the lineup he had on the field in the last game against the Angels, they're in.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really think the division to him is tantamount. It's going to be nice. I know it was one of his goals, but the fact that the Yankees are back in the postseason is the reason why he's handling the team the way he's handling it.
I agree with that. And like I said, if you're a Yankee fan at this point, CeCe Sabathia is throwing very well. A.J. Burnett seems to have, he didn't put pitch unbelievable, but 11 strikeouts and 5 2/3 innings, only two earned
he
runs.
Needed,
he needs it's confidence.
He needed that as much as the Yankees needed to take 2 out of 3 in Anaheim. So if they go back there in the postseason at any point, you know, well, we won here, we could win here, we could win a series here. Just like Burnett, he had all of August into September until the last two starts, he's been
not great.
Let's face it, he's been bad.
Yeah, he's not.
He's been really bad. And as far as, you know, making one mistake, and you said it great last week, you didn't make one mistake. You loaded the bases against the Orioles, and then you made an even bigger mistake to Roberts, giving up a grand slam.
Right.
So it wasn't just one thing. It's the situations he gets himself into, but he's turned it around. And that's what I said to you. If Burnett, his last two starts now going into the postseason were clunkers and he started to fail now, I would rather him have an awful August and an awful start to September and then pick it back up towards October than have it the other way around.
Exactly. Well, I mean, like you said, it looks like they're lining themselves up. Andy Pettit looks like he's back on track. Now, the question really is, I mean, you're going to go with those three guys in the first round.
CeCe, AJ, Pettit are in.
If they get through the first round, then you really have a question right now. And some people have been saying, you know, does Jabba Chamberlain lose his job to Chad Gaudin as the four starter for a game four in the postseason? And to me right now, the guy that's pitching better, the guy that gives them a better opportunity to win a game, not necessarily coming out of the game winning, but coming out of the game giving them an opportunity to win the game. Unlike coming out of the game 7-0, giving up a bomb to Ken Griffey Jr., is Chad Gaudin. And that's just at this point. If Jabba Chamberlain comes out and pitches lights out, yeah, maybe we'll see. But we're at a point now with Jabba where we don't even know if he can give the Yankees length. And that's the truth.
Well, he's going to have a pretty big test on Friday when he faces the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium, because number one, he's better on the road than he is at home. At home, he's 3-3 with an ERA over 5. On the road, he's 5-3 with an ERA just over 4. Plus, since the break, you know, he started 4-0 after the break. He's 4-4 now.
Yeah, it's just
his ERA was under 2. It's over 5. It's 5.46.
I know.
So I'm not with the team every day. I see what happens every day. I'm not there every day. I don't know, you know, if he has some soreness that they're not telling us about, if that's why they're protecting him. But we talk about this when we're not doing the podcast all the time. If someone's shoulder is going to get hurt, it's going to get hurt. It doesn't matter if they pitch 160 innings
or 200 innings.
Or 161 innings.
No, it's true.
It's going to get hurt. If it's going to get hurt, it's going to get hurt. Let the guy pitch. I think by giving him, he was 4-0, then they gave him 8 days off, then 9 days off. And then once they did that, he was gone again. He was lost.
He's gone.
He was on an island.
I mean, his pitches are so flat. So flat.
He was so crisp. He came back. He had the rest during the All-Star break. Every fifth day, bang, 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 4-0. The ERA was great. He was electric. Alex Rodriguez says, I never saw him pitch like this. And all of a sudden, 8 days of rest, 9 days of rest. He's getting close to his innings limit. And he was ruined.
You know what, Chris? At this point, the Yankees should go to him and say, listen, we are not going to start you. From here, from now, we are not going to start you in the postseason. So what you need to do right now is you need to get yourself in that mentality, that Jabba mentality that made you a superstar when you came up, and just unleash fury in that bullpen.
But is it gonna be easy for him to do that? I mean, is he gonna have control like he had? Is the slider gonna work like it worked? I mean, The problem with me is, and I blogged about this in spring training, all the way back in spring training, my blog, and you can go to yesnetwork.com, it said two is greater than four. The two pitches he threw out of the bullpen are greater than the four pitches he throws as a starter. He messes with a changeup. He messes with a curveball. I don't know. I forget what Griffey hit out, but it was a moonshot. And
that was Griffey all in 1995.
Yeah, and it just seems like, you know, Java's not bringing – the velocity was back also after the All-Star break. Now that's gone again. I don't know what's going on with him, but we're going to get a pretty good litmus test when he faces the Red Sox on Friday. So we'll see what happens with Java then.
I do want to say, though, just by the looks of the Angels series, that if the Yankees get out of the first round, because I'm never going to say that they're automatically going to the ALCS, but if they get out of the first round – and they have to play either the Angels or the Red Sox. Look, the Angels might have beaten the Yankees in the five-game set a couple of times. It is going to be one dramatic and wonderful series if the Yankees have to play either the Angels or the Red Sox at this point. It's going to make for some great baseball if it's Yankees versus fill in the blank.
Yeah. AL Central still up for grabs, by the way. The Tigers and Twins. The Tigers have a 2.5-game lead over Minnesota, but there is a big four-game series looming in Detroit against the Twins starting on Monday. And we'll talk about that next week on our new Off the Wall podcast. But we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have football to talk about and also why Sunday has me a little angry. That's all next here on the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at yesnetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on yesnetwork.com. Chris here and Joe Auriemma with you. And it's time to talk a little football, and we'll start with the New York Giants. And the first thing we have to talk about, yes, they beat the Cowboys in Dallas to open up their new stadium, which is a monstrosity. I'm sure it's fantastic in person. Our own Joe Callow was there rooting on the Giants of Football NYC, the podcast, him and Ross Tucker. You could check that out as well. But the first thing we have to talk about with this, Joe, amongst a lot of things, we'll try to keep this short, too, is Flozell Adams and what he said about the injury on Justin Tuck. And I'm going to read you verbatim.
I want to hear this quote.
What he said, and then I want your reaction.
Okay.
First of all, he says, "Ain't my fault. A shoulder injury from a supposed kick? Tell him to stay up. It ain't my fault."
The man kicked him under the knee! He went down on his shoulder because he tripped him under the knee.
I know.
This guy should have been suspended. Instead, he was fined $12,500. You are a dirty player.
Yeah.
And everybody in the NFL knows it. And I'm sick of everybody saying, oh, Flozell Adams, he's been around for a long time. He's a heck of an offensive lineman. You have the most holding calls in the NFL over the last 3 years. You're dirty.
And the only way he defended his quarterback was to trip Justin Tuck. And Tuck, by the way, said it was a quote-unquote Bush League play, and he wasn't amused by Adams' attitude toward it. Tuck said, well, normally people go to Pro Bowls for blocking people, not tripping people, so maybe he should have kept his feet on the ground. But we're not going to get into a war of words here. Tuck taking the high ground. We're going to let it be what it is. And here's the most determining thing he said. I'll see Flozell when we play them again.
Absolutely. And that's the way, that's the attitude to have, because Tuck is going to give it to him the next time.
That we had to get rid of,
yes,
first and foremost, because I thought that was the most asinine thing I've ever read or seen in my life with Flozell Adams. Anyway, Giants.
And speaking of defending Tony Romo, I just want to throw this out there. There is no way in heck that any Cowboy fan or offensive lineman can defend that performance that Tony Romo had.
And he was the first one to say it. He came out and said it was his fault. So you can't get on. He came out and said, I stunk. It was my fault. I have to play better.
I don't get this guy, Chris. This guy, he's like, oh, He's like a baseball player that cannot perform in a big game. He's not clutch. He's not a clutch quarterback.
And Tony Dorsett said it, too. Tony Dorsett says, I don't know why everybody's anointing this guy a great NFL player. He hasn't done anything yet. And, you know, those are pretty...
Al Michaels had a great quote in the game.
Strong words from a former Cowboy. Great.
We watched the game together. I don't know if you remember this quote by Al Michaels. But Tony Romo is at the point in his career where he could either go the way of Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman, or he could either go the way of Danny White, where he basically is going to be a winner, or he's going to be that guy that can't get out of the first round of the playoffs. And right now, he's a la Danny White.
The Giants, they get a big win in Dallas, but this team, which Tom Coughlin admittedly says is still a work in progress, you could say whatever you want, the red zone problems, this, that, and the other thing. Giant fans, if you're out there listening, you can't complain.
W's a W.
That's two division opponents in the first 2 weeks of the season, and the Giants are 2-0. It doesn't matter how they won them. It doesn't matter how ugly it was. It doesn't matter that the Giants couldn't stop Marion Barber. It doesn't matter that the Giants couldn't score in the red zone. You take it, and you run out of there. It's a division win on the road against a huge opponent, opening up a stadium that had over 100,000 people in it. So count your blessings.
The one thing you can take away from this Giant game, Chris, is the differences between these two franchises. You know, the Giants have a Super Bowl victory, but you can really look at it and you could say, coaching, quarterback. Coaching, quarterback. Wade Phillips and Tony Romo, Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning. I'd rather have Coughlin and Eli Manning.
Before we move on to the Jets, I wasn't an Eli guy, but I got to tell you, just because when he came into the league, I'm used to like guys like Phil Sims, who were big and pocket presence and, you know, could stand in there and take a hit. I didn't think he was going to be able to do it. But I got to tell you, Eli Manning is worth every cent the Giants gave
him. Oh, he's calm, cool, and collected.
That last drive, if you weren't an Eli guy, and if you're still not, you have problems. Because this guy single-handedly won that game for the Giants. That last drive, the drive before it, the two touchdown passes to Smith, who, by the way, put an unbelievable move on Scandrick. I think his jock is still on fire. And the one to Manningham, which he almost dropped, but he caught. But I think those two, Manningham and Smith, are coming around, and Eli is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down tremendous.
You're right.
All right, let's move on to the Jets now. Pretty bad first half for Gangrene. Mark Sanchez was 3-for-5 for 15 yards. Didn't really throw a lot. Didn't have a lot to show for it either. But I tell you what, if that's anything like Rex Ryan could adjust at a half to do something to another team, listen, if Sanchez does what he needs to do, just like Joe Flacco did with the Ravens last year, you're not looking at the Ravens last year. You're looking at it, not a good team, but a great team.
Absolutely.
I don't mean to jump the gun, and I don't mean, you know, Jet fans, if you're listening, oh, he's going to jinx us. No. There's a lot to be positive about with this team. Rex Ryan, that defense
is sick.
He doesn't even have all of his personnel. I mean, I guarantee you, he's working with a lot of the personnel that Tannenbaum and Mangini drafted. He's got Bart Scott. He's got a couple of his guys over there. But he doesn't have, like, everybody plugged into his system. Well, but this defense?
Yeah. He had, and let me tell you something.
To hold Tom Brady and the Patriots out of the end zone, which Brady said was unacceptable.
Yes.
That is ginormous, to bring in a Will Ferrell word from the movie Elf. Just ginormous to do that to the New England Patriots.
Well, one guy he's got to be happy that Tannenbaum did draft is Darrell Revis.
Ugh.
That guy.
He's the best cover corner in the league.
I mean, week one.
I'll argue with anybody.
Week one. You didn't hear peep. You didn't hear anything about Andre Johnson.
No.
He comes back week two and has an Andre Johnson.
Gigantic.
Type. You didn't hear.
Killed me on my. He was on the opposite fantasy team.
And Randy Moss, week one, 10 catches, a typical Randy Moss week. What is he doing week two? Oh, we didn't hear anything about Randy Moss. Darrell Revis is that good. That good.
You have a great receiver, you're going to have to face Darrell Revis. I mean, the Jets. The defense shut the Patriots down. No touchdowns in the game. 3 field goals from Steven Gutzkowski. And you know what? The Jets score the only touchdown, and it's a Sanchez pass. This kid must be so giddy right now. Jet fans, you did a tremendous job as well. Rex Ryan said he's never heard a stadium louder. Watching it on TV, I don't think I've ever heard a Jet crowd louder.
Yeah.
The stadium was electric. They haven't beaten Tom Brady in the Meadowlands ever until that day. They haven't beaten the Patriots at the Meadowlands since 2000. You're talking 9 years. I mean, that's
a whole decade.
That's a huge win for this franchise and a huge win for the fans. Now, you have another test this week against Tennessee. And, you know, if you get by Tennessee, Tennessee's 0-2. So they're in this game. They
two
see
really
red.
Bad losses.
There's
too.
Chum in the water with Tennessee.
Oh,
I mean, they're chomping at the bit. If you get by Tennessee and push them to 0-3 and you move to 3-0, Jeff fans, the sky's the limit. All right, we talked about the Yankees. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Giants. We talked about the Jets. We'll get to our football picks for this week in a second and how we did last week and our overall standings. But Jets, Giants, Yankees, and they all have something in common on Sunday. That's the fact that they're playing at 1 o'clock. They're all playing at 1 o'clock. It's Yom Kippur. Both leagues made arrangements so that the Yankee game was moved up to 1 o'clock on ESPN. And the Jet game, or is it the Jets or the Giants that were moved up to 1? I believe it was the Jets. Had a 4 o'clock start.
Yes.
They were moved up to 1. I have a quote here from Anthony Weiner. He's a congressman from New York. This is a direct quote, verbatim. As a Mets fan, it's hard for me to celebrate any victory for the Yankees, but ESPN and the commissioner of Major League Baseball did the right thing. New York is home, excuse me, to the largest Jewish population in the country, and practicing your religion shouldn't conflict with rooting for your home team. Now, remember that last part of that statement. Practicing your religion shouldn't conflict with rooting for your home team. Now, you could take that one of two ways. This is how I take it. If you practice your religion, what in the world are you worried about a sports, a game for? Okay? And I've talked, we have Jewish people who work for Yes. And before we taped this podcast, I talked to them and I asked them. The first Jewish person I asked said to me, who will remain nameless, they said to me, they haven't been to temple in 6 years, let alone, you know, get into the high holy days. The other one said he's never been to temple in his life. Now, I'm not saying all Jewish people don't practice. The ones that practice, I commend you. I applaud you. I'm Catholic and I practice and I take into account Good Friday. To me, and I know you're Catholic as well, Joe, mm-hmm. that's probably the holiest day of the year for Catholics.
Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Yeah.
All of those days are very important to the Catholic religion. And I have to be honest, and I have to tell you, you know, the Yankees played on Good Friday this past season. They play that whole weekend, and none of it's interrupted. I just don't know why, me being a Giant fan and a Yankee fan, when the Yankees are going for a pennant, not a pennant clinching, but a
division clinching win,
possibly against the Red Sox. The Giants are going to be in Tampa. And, you know, I'm a New York fan, okay? So I might not be rah-rah for the Jets, but I'm going to watch them because I want them to succeed. It's good for the city. I'm not stupid. It's good for the area. It's good for the economy. Why wouldn't you want a New York team to do well? The ratings bring in money. They bring in ad revenue. And everybody's happy.
Right.
But how am I supposed to watch three things at one time?
And not one of those, you know, practicing members of the Jewish community is probably going to go to a 1 o'clock Jet game because they can't.
What if they get stuck in traffic? They know better.
Yeah,
they know they're not going to get home in time.
Right. No, I agree with you.
That's all I'm trying to say. I digress. Our football picks from last week. Tough segue, but that's where we're going. Joe was 2-1.
Yep.
I was 2-1. So we're tied for the season. We started this week 2 instead of week 1 because basically we thought about it in week 2 and not week 1 because we're idiots. But we'll have a nice little side bet going on here, something at the end of the year, which maybe we dress up as something and we have to be put on the website.
Yeah.
You know, for everybody
Sounds
to see.
Sounds good to me.
We'll figure it out and we'll make it something very embarrassing and very silly, so the loser has to really, you know, be embarrassed. This week, Joe.
Yes.
I'll go first since you went first the last week. The Giants down at Tampa. This is usually a game, you know, that you would overlook. Tampa's 0-2. They're not the same team. New coach, new quarterback. Derek Ward is down there. You know, if he plays, he's going to want to stick it to the Giants. But and the Cowboys ran all over New York last week. And let's not forget about that. Marion Barber and company ran for over 200 yards, close to three for crying out loud. And don't think the Buccaneers didn't see that. And the Giants, you know, Tuck may not play. The defensive line's going to have some issues. So Tampa might be able to run on the Giants' defense this week. Don't think they're not going to watch that film, as I just said. But I think the Giants escape there with a win. I just don't see if they go into Dallas and did what they did to Dallas, and I know this is stupid on my thought process because anything could happen on any given Sunday. But I think the Giants get out of there with a victory. Moving on to the Jets in Tennessee. Tennessee's 0-2. Jeff Fisher is a great coach. I know Rex Ryan's a great coach, and he has his Jet team ready to go. And I think there might be a little letdown. I mean, it was really built up for that Patriot game. The Titans, you know, it's their namesake, but I don't really think they give a you-know-what about that. The Jets, I think, are going to have a little bit of a letdown. I think the Titans come in here. They're smelling blood. They need a win desperately. They lost to the Texans last week, who the Jets pummeled in the first week of the season. I just think Fisher and company need a win, and I think they pull out all the stops and they get one at the Meadowlands. Jets dropped 2-1. Tennessee picks up their first win. They're 1-2. And my surprise pick of the week, I'll say my, you know, upset special. The Redskins, who were just playing awful against the Rams last week, go into Detroit, and I think the Lions, who played pretty well except for the second half against the Vikings, I think they put two halves together this week, and they get their first win of the season. I think Detroit beats the Redskins at home. So there are my picks. Detroit over the Redskins, the Giants over the Bucks, and the Titans over the Jets. Joe,
all right,
it's
well,
over to you.
My picks, Chris. I'm going to start with the Giant game as well. I know you're giving Tampa some credit that the Giants are going to escape with a win. I think Tampa might be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They're awful. They just, playing that Buffalo game, the first week they looked awful against Dallas. They're just not a good team. The Giants are going to steamroll this team. However, the Giants never steamroll anybody. So let's just, you know, let's move on.
17-0, let's sit on it.
Yeah, okay. The New York Jets against the Titans. Look, the Titans, two frustrating losses. In overtime against Pittsburgh, in week one, against the defending Super Bowl champions on their home turf. And last week, in a big division game against the Houston Texans, another eager of a loss. But I think the Jets are fired up. I'm going both New York teams this week. Both New York teams are going to go 3-0 in my eyes. And because I was so mad at Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, and I really think they're not as good as they once were. I think teams now have a diagram, and you can thank the New York Giants for giving those teams the diagram on how to beat the New England Patriots. Now, look, there are going to be a lot of teams in this league that cannot defeat the New England Patriots, even with that diagram the Giants provided for everybody, because they're just not talented enough. However, the Atlanta Falcons are a very, very talented ball club. So, in my best opinion, the Patriots are going to be able to beat bad teams, and they're not going to be able to beat, you know, good teams. And the Atlanta Falcons are exactly that. They are a good team. Matt Ryan, right now, in my eyes, is a top five quarterback in the league. And just the having Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez make that, and Michael Turner, make that offense a juggernaut, Atlanta wins that game.
All right, there you have it. Joe's picks, my picks. We're both 2-1 last week. We will see what we do this week. And that's going to wrap up a fun-filled edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. For the Godfather, Joe Auriemma.
Thank you very much.
This is Fredo saying we'll see you next time.
I'm smart.
Log on to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankees coverage on the web. And come back every Wednesday for a new edition of Off the Wall with Chris Shearer.